Name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. One of my favorite days of the year. Love the hymns, love the spirit of the church to welcome Jesus into our lives and into Jerusalem. So today in the gospel, we see Jesus entering Jerusalem. In the synoptic gospels, in Mark, Matthew, and Luke, Jesus begins his ministry by performing miracles. He's doing his teachings. He's calling his apostles to follow them. But notice, every miracle he performs, he tells people to not go and tell them what I did. Go and tell no one that you've been healed. There was a hiddenness to Jesus because the people were not ready, and he was not ready to reveal himself just yet. The turning point of all three Gospels is when Jesus turns and starts to head towards Jerusalem. Everything that Jesus has been preparing his apostles for, the work that he has been sent to do, begins this week. The time has come. The time has come for Jesus to pick up his cross. The time has come for us to be redeemed. The time has come for Jesus to show us what true love really is. And as he's heading towards Jerusalem, he sees these two blind men who are crying out to him, "Jesus, Son of David." And Jesus walks up to them, asks them, "What do you want?" As if it's not apparent what these two blind men needed. "We wish to be healed, Jesus. Please open up our eyes." Have you ever gone to the Lord with a desperate plea for a prayer, with a prayer that everything we've done in this life, everything we tried to do on our own has not worked, and we just go before the Lord on our knees like, "Lord, please help me"? That desperate prayer is a powerful prayer. The gospel says that Jesus had pity on them, not pity as if he just felt sorry for them, but pity where he felt the pain of that desperate prayer, and Jesus heals them. Now, the gospel doesn't say how long these two men were blind. It could have been since birth or maybe later in life. But what a beautiful gift to receive, to not be able to see for years or maybe their whole life. They get healed, and the first thing they see is the face of our Lord smiling at them, the Word incarnate standing before them. "I love you." How beautiful. We may not be physically blind, my brothers and sisters, but we might be spiritually blind. And by we, I mean all of us, including myself, because we talk about love a lot. That's all we talk about. And a lot of times we think we have it all figured out. Like, we know what love truly is. We're Christians. This is what we're all about. If I was to ask you guys here, what is the definition of love? Where would you point to? The cross, right? This is the perfect definition of love. And you would be absolutely right. But notice how we never point to ourselves. We're pointing to something that is outside of ourselves. This is how Jesus showed love. This is how he showed love to his Father by bringing his children back to him. This is how he showed love to us by redeeming us and teaching us how to love, that self-sacrificial love. None of us here are going to love in this way. What does love look like in our life? Saint Bernard of Clairvaux talks about the four loves. Not the four love languages that some of us have, you know, maybe read about, but it's like a ladder of loves, four different ways that that people love. And it kind of coincides with our spiritual life. So the first degree of love, he says, is the love of self for the sake of self. This is when faith is not really that important in our lives. This is where all we think about is ourselves. How can I look prettier? How can I make sure more people love me? How can I make more money? The prestige and honor of this world are far more important than anything else. This is when we only think about ourselves, what we need to do to get what we need to get. I don't care about anybody else's problems or feelings. I have to make sure that I am okay. And every once in a while in this period, we tend to be generous. We try to help others. But when we give, we often do it in order to receive something. This is a good person to help because I know he can help me. I'll be nice to that guy. It depara. How many of us do this, my brothers and sisters? We look at people as value instead of sons and daughters of God. We sometimes do this as acts of charity, right? I will help the poor because I know it will make me feel better. How many times have you done something good and for years in your mind you play that good deed out? You remember the good thing that you did. A few years ago, I gave somebody $20. If you factor in inflation, today it'd be $25. What a guy, right? And we keep going to those good things that we may have done to feel good about ourselves. We tend to do this especially around Lent, right? The church says that Lent is not just about fasting. It's about fasting, almsgiving, and prayer. We focus, the church as a whole focuses on this during Lent. I'm a good Christian because I help the poor during Lent. The poor are among us year-round, my brothers and sisters. We don't do it just out of duty to be good Catholics. We do it for the love of God and neighbor. But this is a natural part of being a human being. We're almost born this way. We're born broken. We're born falling, right? That's what original sin does. St. Paul says, no one ever hated their own flesh. We want to maximize pleasure and minimize pain as much as we can. And the longer we do this, we become slave to our soul's biggest enemy, lust. We get too comfortable and do not want to fight. An obstacle to this degree of love is the commandment to love God. We cannot follow the commandment to love God with all our hearts, our minds, and our souls if we're way too busy just thinking and loving ourselves. But after being selfish for too long, you realize that this is no way to live your life. Most people do. Some continue to live their life this way. Because we've all met narcissistic people. No one wants to be around them, right? Then we realize that the pleasure of this world does nothing for us. All the things that we thought were going to make us happy do not actually make us happy. We also realize that we cannot do this alone. We seek help. We turn to God. And here we move to the second degree of love. The second degree of love is the love of God for the sake of ourselves. We love God for who He is, for sure. But what can He do for me? What can the Holy Spirit do for me? How can I benefit from coming to Mass instead of coming to Mass to just worship Him who is worthy to be worshiped? Me, 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 what can I get? What can I receive? How can God do X, Y, and Z for me? Saint Bernard begins his degree by saying that God created us with Him as our protector. He created us to be able to depend on Him. And this is a good thing. We should depend on God. We wouldn't be creatures unless we were able to depend on our Creator for help. And this degree of love is something we all experience. We turn to God simply when we need something. God becomes like a genie. We go to God, we rub the genie when we need Him, and then when we're done with Him, we move on with our lives. We go to God when we take an exam or have a job interview. When we pass our exam or get that job, we only go back to Him when we need that promotion or something else. This is what the second degree is all about. We see the two blind men with Jesus today. They went to Jesus because they needed to be healed. They needed their eyes to be opened, but they stuck around. The Bible says that they followed Him. But I wonder for how long. How long did they stick around? Because we see that people that welcomed Jesus into Jerusalem, Hosanna in the highest, blessed is He who comes in the name of the Lord, was their cry. They were praising God. This is the one who is going to free us. This is the one who's going to free me. He can do so much for me. 5 days later, when Jesus is in front of Pilate, the same people that welcomed Jesus into Jerusalem screamed out, "Crucify Him! He is no longer useful for me. He's already healed me, I can see. And I look at Him, He's not much. Crucify Him!" This is who Jesus becomes. God is good when things are going well, when He's able to help me out. But when I need to sin, crucify Him. I need to feel good. We believe that God will love us no matter what. Why do I need to repent when I know God is always there to welcome me with open arms? I mean, Father John practically lives in a confessional. I know He'll be here. I'll just sin and come to confession. How many times have we had these thoughts when we're ready to commit this sin? And our conscience is telling us, they're warning us, like, okay, this is not something that you should be doing. And we just shrug it off. Oh, God is going to forgive me anyways. We start just having a conversation with God, like, Lord, you know I'm weak. I know you love me anyways. You understand me. You're always there for me. And you'll be there for me when I come back to my senses. But for right now, let me enjoy life a little bit. I love you for the sake of me. We love him for the things that he provides for us. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, right? That's what we all say. As if we can do whatever we want and God will always be there. And we still hate suffering. We still have some of that selfishness with us. And we go to Jesus, what have you done for me lately? See, in this degree of love, the obstacle is love of our neighbor because we are only still thinking about ourselves. And a lot of us get stuck in this stage. That's where most of us get stuck. We come to church, we pray. That's our spirituality. We go to God. But outside of here, we do whatever we want. But by the grace of God, if we're able to deepen our spiritual life, we can move to that third degree, to love God for the sake of God. You see, in the second degree, we love God for our sake, but we still went to him for our needs. By always depending on him and going to him when we need something, we begin to enjoy his presence. The intimacy with God becomes sweet as we learn to discover how wonderful God is. The experience promotes the love of God and transcends that love over our needs. So now we're moving to God, I love you. I will do anything for you. It doesn't matter what I need. Psalm 34 says, we love God not because of your needs, but because we have tasted and known for ourselves the sweetness of the Lord. Everything we becomes for the glory of God. Everything that we do for the glory of God. Fasting is no longer hard because it's no longer done out of duty, but it is done for the love of God. Prayer becomes easier because prayer is going and enjoy the presence of God. We get to taste the sweetness of God. We go to him whom we love. We don't pursue God for any benefits of our part, but because we love him, we want to serve him, and we love him for his sake. And if we get to this point, we assume this is the pinnacle of the spiritual life. St. Bernard offers one more level, one more degree. See, in the first one, it's the love of ourselves for our sake. The second one is love of God for our sake. And the third one is love of God for God's sake. And I was really surprised by the fourth one. But St. Bernard says, the fourth degree of love is love of self for the sake of God. We would love ourselves not because we've done anything special, but because we are his creation. We are created in the image and likeness of God Almighty. By loving ourselves because we are his creation, we end up loving all of his creation. We begin to love our neighbor. We look at them the way God looks at them, as beloved sons and daughters. In this degree, we have a heart of the Father. We are united to him. We think like him. We see the world the way he sees the world. We try to act like him. St. Bernard uses this metaphor. He says it's like a drop of water goes into wine, and you can no longer tell the difference between the wine and the water. This is the point of union, where we are so caught up in who God is that we take delight in what God takes delight, and God takes delight in every single one of you, my brothers and sisters. He loves you so much. St. Irenaeus says, the glory of God is a man being fully alive. I'm going to repeat that again. The glory of God is a human being fully alive. Fully alive in God with our whole hearts, our whole minds, and our whole body. My brothers and sisters, the Lord is calling us to something greater. He's calling us to live greater lives than the lives that we're living right now. What would happen if all of us in this church today took our spiritual life seriously? If we took the words of Jesus seriously? If we did what the church taught? What if all of us in this church today came in agreement and decided moving forward, every single one of us will pray the rosary every single day? We will go visit Jesus in the Eucharist. we will try to stop sinning, what would our community look like? What would our families look like if all of us did this together? To no longer think of ourselves. See, in the first degree, the obstacle was to love God because we're too busy loving ourselves. In the second degree, the obstacle was to love our neighbor because we're too busy still loving God for our own sake. In the third and fourth degree, when we are able to give God all that we have, we're able to fulfill the greatest commandment, the gospel message, what Jesus taught and called the greatest commandment of all, to love God with your whole heart, your whole mind, and your whole soul, and to love your neighbor as yourself. Amen?